Hey y'all, welcome back to the podcast about true crime with
Anna Bro
and Brooke Thurman.
We will be talking about true crime and unsolved mysteries, so settle down and get comfortable because it's gonna get interesting. Utah and all of its cold cases are defined as unsolved murders, long-term missing persons or unidentified persons, and undetermined deaths. Utah has over 450 cold cases, and there are even some unsolved missing person cases from, get this, the 1980s, and there's even one from the 1970s. What the heck? You can find all of Utah's cold cases on the Utah Department of Public Safety website. I even have my own story to tell, so stay tuned. So, like I said just barely, I have my own story to tell about a missing person. I think this case was solved, so it's not technically a cold case, but it's just a story I thought I might tell and share. It might take up quite a bit of time, and we'll see if I can remember all the details, but I'm recording all by myself right now, so thanks, Brooke, for leaving me. Anyways, to my story. I used to live in Lehigh, and in my neighborhood there was this house that was a rental home, so people would rent it, I guess, and people were moving in and out almost all the time, and it was kind of a house that was known for not being the greatest. And what I mean by that is it basically, there were police almost all the time in our neighborhood because of whoever lived in that house. I had a really good friend who lived there for a couple years, and they never had any police come over, but that was before they moved, and once they moved away, all the new families, it was just a really, like, got worse, I guess. Like, there was this one time where I think it was a domestic violence case, and this family had a little girl. She was probably two or three, maybe older. I don't really remember. I was pretty young. I know I was at least five or six. So this was 6 or 7 years ago, so my memory is not the greatest. It's a little foggy. But they let her outside to play in the backyard, and they had locked her out of the house. And luckily, one of my neighbors heard her screaming because she couldn't get in, so she was banging on the door and yelling, and the parents, I don't know if they had left or anything, but they weren't opening the door for her. I don't think they were home. I think they had forgotten and had left her outside, locked out. But, like I said, one of my neighbors heard them, because in that neighborhood, all of the houses, the only thing that really separates the backyards is a single fence. So it was the house that was right behind her, connected on the fence, and they had called the police, luckily, and the police came, and they had, like, it was crazy, like, they, like, I don't even know what happened, but they had, like, guns and stuff that were brought in because they were so worried about this little girl, and they thought that the parents were holding her hostage. So they, I don't really know exactly what happened, but I know that was just a bad thing. Like, they came into the backyard. Almost looked like the SWAT team. I don't think it was, but they were all in black, and they had guns and everything. They had helmets. They luckily got her in a safe place, and the parents, I think, no longer have custody of her. Also, a couple months after this, there was a car driving through our neighborhood, and it was full of a bunch of kids with disabilities, and they were taking them to, like an activity or something. I'm not sure. But this one kid, I don't know the full story. I'm just kind of going off of what I saw. I was walking to my friend's house, which is just right around the corner. And so I was walking. Well, I wasn't walking. I was actually on my bike. I walked by, and there was a police officer, and there was a kid with a helmet on. And at the time, I didn't know he had a disability, so I was a little confused. But I went to my friend's house, and I told her, hey, have you seen just around the corner, there's this kid and this police officer in this car, and the window had been, like, shattered. And she was like, no, I have no idea. I was around 6 at this time, and we were both kind of confused, so we asked her mom about it. She was like, yeah, I'm not 100% sure, whatever. So I just kind of left it alone. But then I ended up actually going home and talking to my mom, and she told me that the kid had gotten mad at another kid in the car, and he had punched the window right across from him because he was in between in the middle seat, and he had punched the window and it had shattered, and he was pretty aggressive, and that's why they had the helmet on him. But I think they were able to get him calmed down and whatnot. But that was a crazy experience. And another time in that house, the one that I'm, the missing person case that I'm going to talk about, is the one I was, I believe this was a couple years later, maybe I was eight or nine, and the guy who had owned the house, who was renting it out, was the uncle of a young girl who had gone missing. And he was a suspect of it because, you know, he is a family member and everything, and he's kind of involved with some crime in the past. And it was just crazy because, like, we all kind of thought it was a little suspicious because on his car he had missing poster signs of this girl all over his car. Like, it was covered in these things, and it was just a little suspicious. I know there were some rumors of her being, like, in his basement, in his house, and he was torturing and abusing her. I can't remember all of the details, but it was really scary knowing that this man who people had kind of known and, like, trusted was, like, a main suspect for kidnapping this girl. Again, I don't remember if he had actually kidnapped her or not, and I don't remember if this is a solved case. But when I come back and record next time, hopefully I'll have more data. Or, I guess not data, but more evidence. Okay. I guess I'll figure stuff out. And the next time you hear this next topic, I guess, I'll have more on this case, I guess.
We'll be back on our next topic in a few minutes. But first, a quick word from our sponsor of this episode. Don't go away.
Macy's is a great store that's good, heavy utilities, and knives. So ironic, right?
Yeah, ironic. Yeah. Totally didn't put that there.
A great store. A great store. So fun. And moving on to our next topic of today's episode.
It's going to be so fun.
Hey, yo. Okay. So, I don't have any more info because I forgot to ask my mom about it. But Brooke is here because she's not dead. And now she's going to say stuff.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not dead. So far.
You have no idea what the topic is about.
No, so, I really don't.
Okay, it was about, like, cold cases in Utah, but it kind of just turned into my own little life story. Because who doesn't love a little me time, right?
Okay.
Do you have any life stories to tell the people?
One time I almost was kidnapped.
Nice.
Yeah.
They won't get to know that whole story.
No, they won't.
Okay. Well, that's kind of it. Just leave you on that note. She was kidnapped.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Thanks for listening to this episode. And I don't know. Bye.
episode of the True Crime Podcast. See you later.